about Dallas and make it hurt.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the King Rigoni Show on Believe Network and the Draft Network. We're here with my friend and former teammate and current Arizona State defensive tackle, Nessa J. Tolvera.
What up, Nessa? You know, I think me and Ryan wanted to bring you on. You know, there's been a lot of questions and, you know, on why you left and all that. So we wanted to bring you on, you know, talk about your journey, how it's been going at Arizona State, and just about, you know, everything about Miami. So
I appreciate y'all boys, you know, bringing me on and all that, for sure.
I like that chain you got on, you know, glam and stuff.
Your neck.
Middle of the mall jewelry.
Oh, cool mall jewelry. I like it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like $50, get a nice little chain.
Exactly.
Now I see kind of your spot in the background. You know, I wanted to ask you, because I know you had a nice spot here. Did you leave just because, you know, the rent went up around here? Stuff like that. You know, Miami's the least affordable city in the country now. Arizona, I don't know how it is over there.
Yeah, man. Rent did skyrocket where I had to get up out of that patent bag.
Nah, but all jokes aside, I wanted to kind of, you know, we'll get to that later, but I wanted to ask you, you know, how it was growing up, you know, and you're from Fort Lauderdale, right?
Broward County,
you know, they all say different spots around here. I don't know how it is. Yeah, same thing, right?
Something like that.
All right, so you're from Broward County. How was it, you know, growing up there? How was it, you know, playing football, you know, coming up, you know, as a little leaguer? Did your older brother play? Did your pops play? Like, how'd you get into it?
I mean, football really just like, it's culture down here, you know, just being from the crib. Being from Broward, you know, it's just coming up. That's what's important. You know what I'm saying? Playing football, you know, Saturdays you're going crazy at the park, you know, all that. It just came, you know what I'm saying? I've been playing since, you know, I was 4 years old, for as long as I can remember, you know, with best of the best coming up. So, you know.
Yeah. What was the first position you played in Little League?
First position I played, center.
Center?
Yeah, I was playing center and linebacker, boy, with a duck.
I can't see you playing linebacker angle. Well, you don't think you got it in you. So, you know, I don't know if you got that in you.
I line D tackling in the country. You heard it. Sideline aside. Yeah.
Respectfully.
My first position, I played quarterback in Little League. Played quarterback, and then I remember I moved and I went to a whole new team. Nobody knew me. And I was just kind of big at the time, bigger than the other kids. So they put me in left guard. So I played left guard for a year. Wore number 57. Yeah.
It was line to junior year in high school, boy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Did you get any – some people may not have known, but your first position, like in high school and stuff, was offensive line. Did you have, like, offers and stuff at offensive line?
I had like 10 O's at O-line, bro. Like, I had USF, Kentucky. My first offer was like FAU. Shout out Coach Patriot. You know what I'm saying? Coach Justice was the O-line coach at that time, too. That's how I knew him. But, yeah, you know, I had a couple O's at O-line. We was deep at Heritage, so, you know, you had to get in where you fit.
What you played guard, center? What you played at Heritage?
Left guard. That boy Kai at left tackle. Ooh.
Oh yeah. Kai forgot about the Kai Herbert. My God.
The legend.
Hey Kai Leon. But no,
what made you transition to defensive tackles? That's just something you kept asking the coach, like, you want to play on defense? Or were you too aggressive?
Coach Ronk was the head coach and had me at O-line. And when he left to take the job at Miami, Coach Pat was like, he too crazy for O-line. He got to hit everybody in. Coach Pat Surtain, you know, he transitioned me over to D-tackle. And just, shoot, the rest of history.
Dang, so it's Ronk's fault you was playing O-line.
Yeah.
It's Ronk's fault.
That sounds about right. Hey, so, you know, growing up in Broward County, at what age, you know what I'm saying, did you know that you wanted to play for Miami, or that came later? Or was that, like, you know, in your blood, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'll never forget. I was, like, probably, like, 2007, like probably around 2007. Like I played at West Pines Wildcats. We had some dogs come out of there too, you know what I'm saying? But shoot, I remember they had used to have a bus come through like before every season, like all the UN players, they come through, get a little, you know, the little BS, the little schedule and the assignment, stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? And then from there, I'm like, that's all you really knew coming out. You don't really see much as my people, two immigrants from Jamaica, like, so it's like, they don't know nothing about football. They ain't putting me on, oh, this is NFL team, we growing up, like, nah, none of that. So it's like, y'all, I knew, that's all I saw. So from there.
So when you started getting recruited, because you obviously, you five-star, right?
Nah, I'm not.
you a four-star, right? You getting recruited by all these big-time universities. Like, was it easy to stay home, or you was, you know what I'm saying, talking to Bama and Georgia and USC, whatever?
Like, right after my junior year, like right after that, we had won states and shit. I had probably dropped. It started with Georgia, FSU, and I got Bama. This was like January time. And then February, I had got that U offer. February 13th, I got that U offer. I took my visit February 14th, committed on the 14th. I said, like, forget all them other schools. Then I kept, you know, kept getting O's and all that, but, you know, I just, shoot, Coach Rick got me in that. What's that? He said something like, you committed to us now? I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I didn't even know what it really meant. I was just like, yeah, shoot, I know this is where I want to be, so the rock out then.
That's hard.
Who offered you before Miami did? Like, I'm talking like Power Five at defensive tackle.
FSU, Georgia, Bama, Florida, LSU.
Was it like Miami waited a while, or was it, you know, kind of back to back?
Miami was one of the last like big schools that I like was waiting on to like offer me, like in that time frame.
Did you kind of feel some type of way about it? Because I know some people, you know, they'll take that to heart and be like, you know what, I'm not going there because of that.
No, I didn't even care. Like Coach Cool called me, offered me. I said, I'm trying to visit the next day. Shoot. I stayed committed for 2 years. Took a few other visits and shit. Like I played around, you know, did that JIT stuff, you know, with the hats, messing with schools and shit. You know where I ended up.
What were your final schools?
I took OVs to Florida, Tennessee, and Miami. But that was my final three. Yeah. So it really was Florida and Miami. Really messed with Florida, like, truly, like, shoot. I probably would have messed around and went to Florida if my old girl was like, you're not leaving. She told me straight, I'm not signing them papers. Like, you're going to Miami. You've been committed for 2 years. You're going to honor what you said you was going to do. And shoot, I went on that stage, Bill. I committed. Said, very great with a little checking and shit.
I actually remember. I remember the signing day and everything. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I remember looking up at the screen, and this dude had a Chucky doll in his hand. I'm like, "What the heck is that? I ain't never seen that before." And I remember the dudes talking about make the crib great, talking about Miami and stuff. I'm like, "Man, Miami, that's a place to be."
Crazy thing is about that crib great shit, bro. I thought about the whole speech on the spot because, like, I'm really that morning, like, trying to tell my old girl, like, I'm not trying to go there anymore. Like, so I really came up with that shit. Like, yeah, I'll never forget, like, all my dogs was coming, like, Patrick Tan, Tyson Campbell, and Drew. So, Drew Chatfield, I don't say the whole name. And ESPN was coming, and, like, they told, like, Coach Pat, like, if he's not finna flip to Florida, like, he can't be on the, be on the hat shit. Like, he gotta go after, like, and I remember, like, damn, I'm not gonna switch. And then, like, they had gave me the shit on sudden shit, like camera shit, like on some sudden shit. Cause everybody already committed on ESPN. Boom. They came over, passed me the mic, put the camera on. Motherfuckers were walking behind me and shit already congratulating everybody else and shit. And then like, I just said to make the career great shit. Like, I was just like, cause that's just what was on my mind. Like, cause bro just went to Tuscaloosa. Bro just went to Gainesville. I'm like, damn. So I'm like, so we could go there or we can make the career great. And bro, I swear to God, before I got to the crib and could have trademarked it, that shit was trademarked. Like, ain't no chance.
Yeah, I was about to.
That night, my old boy went to the crib, tried to, like, oh, let me see what, boom, boom, like, GoDaddy or whatever that shit be when you get, like, trademark shit. Shit, gone. Don Life had shirts, like, the next week, green ass names.
Like, yo.
Yeah. I was about to ask you about.
Y'all know what time it is.
Everybody use Make the Crib Great now. Like, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's theirs. And I know
you're bro, like, just give me my flowers, man. You know?
Yeah. I know that because of you. I acknowledge that. I remember I saw someone on Twitter saying something about Making the Crib Great. I actually saw some shirts that dropped, not the Dime Life shirts. I saw some shirts that dropped saying Make the Crib Great. And I was.
Yeah, shout out Dime Life, man. Stop playing.
Shout out Dime Life. They show love. They show love.
Yeah. All that.
No, but yeah, I saw it was this season someone dropped some shirts saying Make the Crib Great. I think you quoted it or something. But yeah. I definitely feel like
I don't even care,
they should pay you for that, but you know, that's
I don't need that shit. They got that. They might need me.
No, there was a question, you know, I posted on Twitter today. Asking if people had any questions for you. What was this is one of them from Sweet Jones Jr. He asks, what does he learn most from Miami? Does he feel he left the crib greater than it was?
What's that name?
His at is low too cool, but his name says Sweet Jones Jr.
Yeah.
He says, what does he learn most from Miami? Does he feel like he left the crib greater than it was? Does he feel like there's more he could have done?
What I learned from Miami is definitely brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? Like the U runs deep in like the people that's in that locker room is what I would say. You know, it's real. You know what you're playing for. And so you just learn. You learn what shit means. Like it's bigger than you, is what I would say. And what was the other part of the question?
Does he feel like he left the crib greater than it was?
Like, I feel like, honestly, like, people really, like, I came in first year, we got our ass blowed out Wisconsin in that bowl game. Like, we had some great players on that defense. Sheldrick Redwine, Mike Pinckney, Shaq Quarterman, Jaquan Johnson, Gerald Willis, Joe Jackson, Jonathan Garvin. Bro, like, dudes who are in the NFL, like, right now, Michael Jackson, like, they all in the NFL still to this day. So, we had guys and we went 7-6. The next year, 2019, 6-7. 2020, I feel like, is a year that a lot of people overlook because of COVID. And they don't realize, like, good of a year we had, how great of a year we had, like, compared to all the years prior, just because it was COVID. Like, the FSU game, we'd be FSU 52-10. But we had 10,000 fans in the stadium. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't hold the same feeling or same to people, I feel like. So, to answer that question, 2021 was a year of a lot, bro. Like, y'all was there. We had starters go down left, right, left, right. It was almost a team. It was almost two teams, you know, sad to say. Like, you feel me? Like, we had a younger team and an older team at a point. You know what I'm saying? So, to answer the question, did I leave it greater than I got it? I definitely feel like I did. Like, that locker room when we got there, my class got there 2018, even the 2017 class. The locker room was clicky when we got there. Like I said, we had a great player, but it felt like it was kind of clicky. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the way we made the locker room and built it, like even just the D-line room itself, like everybody messes with each other. Everything's cohesive. Like you'll have the starting quarterback, Derrick King, hanging out with the third string long snapper. Like, you don't got stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? On every team, I feel like. So, yeah, I left it greater.
Before we continue on this conversation with KJ, I would like to tell y'all about our sponsors today. What's more important than peace of mind? Nothing. And that's what NordVPN is here for, to give you a peace of mind while you're online. And with all the threats that face today on the internet, it is important more than ever to be sure that you have the best VPN you can get. NordVPN is the world's best VPN service, offering the fastest connectivity, most servers, and next generation encryption to make sure that everything you do online stays secure. Plus, you can use NordVPN on all of your computers and devices. no matter the operating system. With NordVPN's ultimate bandwidth, you never have to worry about a slow connection either. And plans start under $4 per month. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/believe or use the code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to get 70% off your NordVPN plan, plus one additional month free. It is also risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
I agree for sure. Like you said, I think a lot of people gonna overlook, you know, the growth that we made, right? And then once the team start doing really well, hopefully next year coming up, they gonna be like, oh, that's, you know, this guy, this coach, just gonna, they don't get all the, you know what I'm saying, the glory, but you know what I'm saying, like the growing pains that we have to grow through. You know what I'm saying? We gotta go to the, not complaining, but, you know, going to the dining hall, they got breakfast catered to them every day now, all you can eat buffet. They got this amount of resources. They got this kind of people supporting the program. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like,
that was,
they understand the growing pains.
I feel like if you in it, you understand it. As the coaches who are really in it, they understand it. It's just that outside shit. Y'all know what time it is. Like,
yeah.
Feel me? Don't really know what's going on.
And that's that. What you were saying, Derek, about like, oh, we may have a great season next year, but they don't realize that the season prior is what built it. There was a, you know, I always watch it, the U part two. They talk about the 2001 team. And the head coach, I think, was he was the head coach at FIU. I forgot his name.
Butch Davis,
yeah. And then he didn't win the national championship, but the next coach, Larry Croker, did.
Yeah.
Larry Croker, you know, whatever. And they said it didn't matter who the coach was that year. We were going to win anyways just because, like, they felt, you know, that they – all this work was just building up, even though their record wasn't showing it, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of like that, you know, I feel.
Oh, definitely going to snap. You feel me? It just was a matter of, like, what's going to help the Silvera last name, Miami snapping or me snapping? Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that kind of leads me to my next point is, like, what are you looking forward to, like, at Arizona State?
You know, ASU got a real good team, bro. They played Wisconsin in the bowl game, finished off, lost a tough game, but, you know, had a good year. Could have definitely won the South. You know, lost to Utah in a tough one, but bro, they have a young team that's really just, I feel like, on the up and up, and just needed a few more pieces to get where they needed to get. And I feel like I could have been a major part of getting into where they need to be. You know, it's Herm Edwards, you know, who wouldn't want to play for a coach like that? You know, I feel like, you know, the D-line coach I got, you know, Coach Rodriguez, you know, he's second to none. You know, he coaching 6th, 7th round picks going to be Pro Bowlers with the Vikings and just things like that. You know, I just feel like it's helped me take it to the next level.
It's funny you talk about Herm Edwards. I know Derek heard me, you know, tell this story before, but, you know, only one coach, you know, I didn't have any offers out of high school, none of that, no letters, anything. I got one phone call from one coach ever in high school, and it was from Herm Edwards. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. He called me on a Saturday morning. I picked up my phone. I'm like, hello, like, who's this? He's like, hey, this is Coach Herm Edwards at Arizona State. You know, just watch your film and stuff. Wanted to give you a call and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I was like, no, like, seriously, like, who is this? Because I ain't got one call, one offer, one letter from nobody. I'm like, who is this? He's like, no, seriously, this is Coach Herm Edwards. He's like, I just want to talk to you a bit and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that. I like Herm Edwards. I do. And I can understand, you know, why you would go there, and if he was a part of that, why you're the reason there. I'm part of the reason you're there. But in that also, I wanted to ask, I mean, you don't have to, you know, answer this, but I wanted to know what other schools were in play for you.
I can honestly say to every school in the country, you know, rang my line. Honestly, besides Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama, and probably the only schools that didn't call me. You know,
I got a question. Like you said, you're from Broward, right? So how hard was it for you to like to make the decision to, you know what I'm saying, enter the portal and move on?
I mean, bro, it's the crib, you know, it's tatted on me, you know. I love that shit. You know, who wants to
know.
It was a tough decision, but it's like it's easy to just look at it like business move. Like I never left the crib before, so it's like quick trip, do everything you got to do. You know, help this team grow, try to be a leader, you know, win as many games as we can and, you know, get back to the crib and get to work.
Now, I know that's something me and Pierre talked about before on a previous episode, talking about whenever you did transfer, a lot of people don't understand, like, your love for the crib, like, for Miami, for Broward County, for the University of Miami. Like, me and you have had conversations one-on-one. Like, I know without a doubt that you love this more than anybody else on the team or in the program. You love the University of Miami. And
still on the team?
Huh?
You still on the team, but chill out, huh?
No. I'll give it to you. Like, you 100%, you love Miami. And I know this. I mean, I've seen the look in your eyes, like, after a loss, like, you actually felt real pain while other people, you know, it seemed like they didn't care. Like, you really, really loved the University of Miami. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, like, it must have been a very, very, very hard decision for you to leave.
I mean, yeah, bro. You know, sometimes I feel like passion is mistaken as aggression or as, you know, just when everybody doesn't want it, like you said, everybody don't want it as much as you seem like the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, that might be right, but it's like, if it's 10 more who want to do wrong, and it's 2 who want to do right, who going to win? The 10 and 2, you see what I'm saying? And now you look crazy. You the oddball, you know? So just come with it.
I know for a fact, shit, me being on the team for 2 years, knowing you for 2 years, is like Ryan said, bro, there's nobody on that team that I think, you know what I'm saying, wanted to win and wanted Miami to be great as much as you. And, you know what I'm saying, people say they want to say about it, but shit, on Saturdays you showed up, you know what I'm saying, we're just, we losing by 20 or we up by 20, you showing up, you making plays. I remember, I never forget North Carolina game, 2020, you know what I'm saying, they running the ball down our throat, they got 600 rushing yards, you out there playing like we, you know what I'm saying, like we in the fourth quarter battle, you run still showing up on defense, like, not saying about no other guys, but you out there, you know what I'm saying, going hard. You know what I'm saying? Doing whatever you can to, because that shit's embarrassing. Like you said, like, you really, you know what I'm saying? You really care about you really care about winning and losing. And you know, I know people are not going to admit it, but shit, there's a lot of people that play college football. They're really just there just to say they play college football. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really don't even, you feel what I'm saying? So, like, I applaud you for that. And I learned that from you. You know what I'm saying? As far as like watching you play, watching you practice and all that. So,
for sure. That's when I think about games and stuff, I think about that game. Because I'll never forget the moments on the sideline. Obviously, I'll never say, you know, what was said, but it's late in the fourth quarter. You know, people, now it's like, all right, we know we're going to lose. There's no time, you know, to come back and stuff like that. And everybody's like, all right, they're pulling all the starters. And you're like, nah, like, I'm still going to play. Like, screw that. Like, I'm still going out there. Like, I'm not about to get embarrassed even more and things like that.
They want, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers see what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
They gonna give credit to who they give credit to, but you know, I'm at peace just because I know like and I appreciate y'all boys for what y'all said, but like I know like it ain't a loss we took. I ain't bawled my eyes out, like not no fake shit, not for no attention, by my motherfucking self. You see what I'm saying? Or I'm motherfuckers on the plane laughing after hell. I want to fade niggas, and I'm the one getting yelled at by coaches.
Cause dude. Down.
After we get my ass whooped in Clemson.
Hey, I've been on that bus with you after the loss, bro. I know how it go. I know how exactly how it went. You was right in every situation. We was on that bus. So. That's crazy.
It's just
I'm not gonna forget that. You know, you checking people and stuff like that and making it seem like you were the bad guy. And I personally, you know, witnessed that a few times because, you know, we're on the defensive bus. You know, in that 2019 season on the defensive bus. And, you know, sometimes it was like that in 2020. And you got looked at as a bad guy sometimes when really you were right. And I remember one time, we weren't even cool then. We weren't even real cool then. Like
me, Lowry right now.
Yeah, we good now, but Nesta knows, like, me and him would go back and forth. But there was one time he was right, and people were trying to say you were wrong, and you weren't even around. You weren't even in the room, nothing. And I was like, nah, I told him straight up. I was like, y'all were wrong, like, dead wrong. Like, Nesta was checking y'all on, like, on real things, and y'all just didn't want to hear it. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, sometimes that's how it goes.
I ain't tripping on none of that shit. I love that you. It ain't about that.
So, with that, I mean, I got to say, what was your favorite moment at the University of Miami?
Damn. Favorite moment? Shit. Probably, I go back to probably FSU 2020, bro. Like, that shit was crazy. Like, if you was in that stadium, it felt like it was full. Like, that shit was crazy. You know,
that shit was lit.
Fucking, it's so many, like, you know what I'm saying? Going up to NC State, coming back and winning. Going to VTech, coming fucking, just, you know, just never, we were honestly a never relenting team, like, no matter what nobody wants to say. And just, it's just too many moments to, you know, to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Something
in the locker room, you know what I'm saying? That shit be the best memory. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There's a lot of funny times in that locker room. But
so we can talk about it on camera.
Yeah, we can't talk about it, obviously. That's locker room stuff. But
we'll go. Not them nights either.
Yeah, not them nights either. We'll talk about just this question, and I think I already know the answer, but what is your worst memory?
We just lost the FSU, bro. That's probably one of them biggest, because I never, the way I felt after that loss, I never felt one like that. Like, that shit was just, like, sickening. Like that shit really ain't feel real here in the And we under locker room, hearing the fireworks go off and shit. I'm going in that game 3-0 versus FSU. Finna go out 4-0, like, fuck them. And motherfuckers lost. Bullshit. So, on 4th-and-14, gang. Shit is crazy. So, that's probably that or fucking or FIU. One of those. It's probably that.
Those are my two biggest ones as well. The FIU loss and the Florida State one. Because nothing, you know, hurts worse than losing a Florida State. That's just – it does something to you. But also, when we lost to FIU, that was a – I remember waking up the next day.
Like, that's why when fans be saying shit, like, nobody takes it worse than, like, us already. Like we lost at the OOB to FIU to the old goddamn coach. We supposed to go out there and blow their ass out. Like, cool, bro. Like, we tell you that shit was embarrassing.
I remember I woke up the next morning going into the Sunday lifting. I'm like, oh, snap. Like, it hit me. I'm like, we really lost that game. Like, I couldn't believe it.
And then we got shut out by La Tech.
That's a
– like that. And then D.A. showed up on the bus. That shit crazy.
I hit that DM that December, I think, or for January.
Yeah. Yep. And I went back and watched all the game too, far as I had to come. I was like, they lost to FIU, lost to Duke, lost to La Tech, and what's the other team I lost to?
Lost to Duke that year.
Lost to Duke. So I was like, ain't no way I'm losing to any of those teams. You know what I'm saying? So it was like,
and we lost to VTech.
VTech, yeah.
That one made me up. There was a video that surfaced Twitter, and it pissed me off so bad. Is VTech? I don't know if they had some box or something, but they went on the U, and they were like taking some grass out or something, or like, you know, kicking it up and like putting it in some box. I don't know, but
niggas was dancing after losses that year. Sideline dancing.
I wasn't there that year. I ain't gonna lie.
That shit is crazy. Niggas dancing on the sideline doing the fucking soldier boy. We get my ass beat. Niggas giving out the spirit leader award and shit like that.
Hey.
God, niggas trying to win that shit. Like, type of shit is that? Sunday, we come in, we just lost. Or whatever. What they call that shit? Ryan, you know. I know.
Hey, we already know. We already know we got this one.
It was a shirt. It was a shirt. I forgot what it was called. A Juice Squad or something like that.
Yeah. Special teams coach used to give it out.
It was a juice something. It was a t-shirt.
That was some shit.
It was a cool t-shirt. I never got one, but it was a cool t-shirt.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Nah, yeah.
You live, you learn, though, bro. You live, you learn, for sure. Good times, bad times.
Oh, shit. Did you get the chain for real? I got a question for you now. Did they get rid of the chain?
Well, I guess that's a question for me. Man, I don't really know. I guess so. We haven't talked about it, but obviously there was those rumors. It's probably a question I need to ask. I think they're still hanging up, you know, in the little
I rocked everyone, bitches. I don't even care. I rocked everyone.
Hey, I'll never forget the UAB game. I still think it was supposed to be a fumble. I jumped on it so quick on the ball. I was like, oh, I'm about to get the turnover chain, first one of the year. Man.
That shit went out.
Yeah, I never got to wear it, but there I will say
the rings this year. That's why I fucked Ram. Ram, shout out Rambo, bro. Rambo, you real dog. Duke scored a touchdown. Let me get the rings with him. Boy, yeah. Solid. Garrett never did that for me, bro.
I never did the rings, bro. I always gave it to somebody else. Like, never did the rings. Nah, but hey, what you want to say, Ron?
No, go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, we do on the show, like, anybody, any guests we have come on, we want to, like, give an opportunity to give, like, some, you know, something they learn. Like, you know, it don't got to be motivational, just, like, a little quote or something they, like, they go by. So.
Shoot. I just go with the flow, gang.
Some advice? Yeah. Any advice?
The advice I would give just to, like, probably just to the shorties, like, coming up, just, like, you know, focus on you, like, you definitely gotta like separate yourself. You cannot stay like them boys doing bad, them boys not going to study hard, them boys not doing what they supposed to do, late to lifts, doing things like that, bro. Like at some point you gotta grow out of that and like focus on you. Like I ain't never had them problems. Let's not get it twisted. Like that's not, but you know what I'm saying? Just dudes gotta get right, like, you know, and just focus on their bag, cause like this shit go quick. Like, I would have never thought I'd do 5 years in college. It's my fifth year in school, gang. I would have never thought, like, and this shit go quick. I'm 22 years old now. Like, I'm not an 18-year-old boy no more, you know? And I wish I knew some of the things I knew and just not even – just moved the way I move now. When I was that age, I probably, you know, would have been gone. So just be older than you are, I guess. Be more mature in situations and, you know, your stuff.
Well, that's one thing I can attest for is – your maturity level from when I first got there till now is just like, it's night and day. Even when Derek got here and, you know, until now, you know, it's not, it's like night and day. It's a whole different
I'm person. Gonna give you flowers though, King. Like you definitely was like one of them ones who like said, nah, like I'm a rock with bro. Like tell them how to do things, move like this, move like that. And like, so I salute you for that for sure. Like that's why we gang for sure.
Appreciate it. Quincy too. I know Quincy was on you too when he was there.
Quincy was on my ass. Yeah, JP sure. And Greg punk ass. But you know what I'm saying? I appreciate them boys for that.
For sure.
But you know, thank you so much for coming on. We're glad we could finally get you on the show. And Obviously we're gonna wish you good luck and you know at Arizona State this year. You know, but not too much luck because you know we want to be ahead of y'all at the end of the season. So
I ain't gonna lie, Nessa, I want you to go crazy.
I gotta go like yeah. Road to glory mode, like we on NCAA.
Yeah,
like. I wish you luck. But no, thank you so much, bro, for coming on the show. We appreciate you. And for me and Derek, we thank everybody for tuning in and we'll see y'all next time.